Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
I'd like to welcome two very, very talented women here today to cross over, part of a marvelous quintet, the Imani Winds. Mariam Adam is clarinetist and Monica Ellis bassoon. Welcome to Crossover, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we have heard about the Imani Winds for years now, not that many because you are quite young, certainly from my vantage point. But you are also a very eclectic group, and I'd like to speak to you a little bit about how you got together and about what you think in terms of the kind of music that you play and crossing the genres and so on. So, Mariam, you're a clarinetist, right?
Yes. One of the little anecdotal information I have about the start of Imani Winds is that I knew the founder, Valerie Coleman, our flutist, and we had met at Aspen Music Festival years ago, and we both moved to New York at the same time, and she said right away, I'm going to go to grad school in New York, and I want to start a wind quintet. I said, great, I'm in. Had no idea what she was planning, what was coming. And she said, great, now we just need to find a bassoon player, an oboe player, and a horn player.
That's one way to start, yeah.
Yeah, so, and I had known that she was a very talented flutist and a composer, and she had all kinds of ideas and visions, and so that was something that I was interested in from the beginning. And she had the name of the group before she had the people, Imani Winds, Imani meaning faith. And yes, it's taken a lot of faith from the beginning until this very day to be strong and keep it going. She had a vision that we all adopted early on, which was not just playing the music that we had been trained in our conservatories of European composers, but also musicians that were underrepresented in the classical music world, musicians of color. And over the years, that's developed into a whole other mission of ours, which is to play music of composers who may not normally write for classical instruments, for wind quintet, and to champion their music, because I think now we realize classical music will always be classical for a reason, but also there is an evolution that's happening with chamber music in particular that we are happy to be a part of.
Well, you're on my A-list because you play Astor Piazzolla, so that's one of my favorites, and a brilliant, I guess, jazz musician as well was he. And you, Mariam, also toured, didn't you, with the Monterey Jazz Festival Jazz Ensemble at some point?
Yes, yes.
But I read somewhere you were a drummer.
Yes, that was my other life, which I wish, you know, the unfortunate thing was that I came to New York and I realized I was much better at clarinet than I was at the drums in the world here of jazz, and even just being able to keep a drum set in your apartment. So that's what made that career die, a slow death.
But you actually started as a clarinetist. That's the beginning of your musical studies, right?
Yes, but I grew up in Monterey, and the jazz festival has such a strong presence there.
Yes.
They really encouraged all the musicians there to play in the jazz band.
Are you in culture shock, or at least climate shock, from Monterey
constantly.
To New York? Absolutely.
Constantly.
It's a gorgeous town.
Ask Monica. Yeah. I'm always crying for Monterey.
Okay, Monica, you're a bassoonist, also a unique instrument.
Yes.
It looks terrific. And do you play jazz on it at all?
Well, no, is the short answer.
Okay.
I think, but with this group, with Imani Winds, I think one of the beauties of the group is that we have explored music from so many different styles. As you mentioned, Astor Piazzolla and Paquito de Rivera, Wayne Shorter. So we have gone outside of the realm of what is the typical composers for the wind quintet, which, by the way, consists of not that many to begin with. You know, our history as an ensemble only consists of about 150 years. So naturally, we're going to have less composers that have written for the configuration of instruments just by default. So we are, as Miriam said, constantly looking to expand the repertoire and how we approach new music. And so as a result, we have really been influenced by a lot of jazz artists, and jazz composers have indeed written for us, specifically for us, because of our desire to want to learn other languages, musical languages, attempt at just expanding your whole palette of what you have to offer. So do I play jazz? Not in the traditional sense of, you know, a 12-bar blues and here's a Charlie Parker tune, play it. It's not like that. But I think we approach all kinds of music with the utmost respect and want to be students of the music, whether it's trying to understand Argentinian tango, whether it's trying to understand African-American spirituals, or for that matter, you know, the language of Czechoslovakian composers or klezmer music, or and jazz falls right in place with that as well.
Your father was a jazz musician, wasn't he, Monica?
Yes, he was. I'm from Pittsburgh originally, and he was a jazz saxophonist, passed away many years ago now, but jazz and music in general was in my household from day one. And so for sure my original influence was him, and he, you know, he had the proverbial day job, if you will,
That's what musicians do.
That's what musicians have to do. But he played for years with several ensembles, several groups in Pittsburgh. And so, you know, that was right there. And so the support system that was inherent in my personal household and in my life was very, very much allowed me to, you know, explore and want to try different instruments and try different styles. And I actually started on the clarinet and saxophone as well, and then eventually came to the bassoon a little bit later on.
That's a different mouthpiece, though, isn't it, the bassoon?
Oh, yes, no doubt about it. Yeah, clarinet and saxophone. Exactly, the double reed instrument and clarinet and saxophone are similar, but the bassoon is indeed a whole other world.
Oh, yes.
But I've fortunately had a teacher, my clarinet teacher, he is a bassoonist as well. So he kind of started me on some of those preliminary stages, and then I eventually went on to study with someone else from the Pittsburgh Symphony, which led me down the path of
now
no return.
You got your degree from Oberlin, but you also got a master's at Juilliard, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
But I keep going back to jazz, and I really shouldn't with your ensemble, but what I feel certainly in listening to your music and the way you play, there is such a deep understanding of all genres. And I believe that you have a new album out, though. Again, we're back to jazz. Is it the Josephine Baker album? Is that a new one?
That's it's one of our newer ones, probably not the newest, and in fact the newer album of ours is the Christmas album, which does have quite a few elements of jazz and even some gospel and a little R&B. It's got a whole mixture of things, and it's written, all the arrangements of the Christmas tunes were done by our own Jeff Scott and Valerie Coleman, and we had guest artists who are wonderful jazz musicians, James Genus on bass, Jason Moran on piano, and Nate Smith on drums, and they're all icons in the jazz world now. So, you know, just being around them, I think, also brought out the little that we do have in our bag.
I think it's honestly one of my favorite albums, the Christmas album. It's Christmas music, so it's certainly only, you know, more or less appropriate at one time of the year. But the arrangements are just so beautiful and really original in and of themselves, even though they're these familiar tunes.
This is your newest release. But tell me a little bit about some of, you know, some of the others, in terms of, you know, you are also have something that rather intrigued me. You have a commissioning project, a legacy commissioning project, and that means you commission works. Is that right? Specifically?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'll talk a little bit about the albums, and maybe Miriam can speak on the legacy. You mentioned firstly the Josephine Baker record, which did come out right before the Christmas record, and that was based on obviously Josephine Baker.
Sure.
We decided to celebrate her a few years back when she would have been 100 years old.
Oh boy!
And we put together an entire evening length performance of her celebrating her life through this quintet, through the medium of woodwind quintet. So unlikely bedfellows, but I think it was very successful nonetheless. We had a singer, a dancer, and also a drummer that accompanied us on the road even, and as well as having a film component that Jeff, he wrote music that was like accompanying the soundtrack. That's what I'm looking for. They were almost like a soundtrack to her silent films, and it's just tremendous to see her artistry on film. And you know, we're so lucky to have so much footage of her as this this originator of so many styles and. Just, you know, she influenced so many different people, fashion,
well, she
music,
was a, you know,
politics.
Yes, of course, and very, very important in that era. You're dressed
indeed.
Like her, but no banana skirts. I don't see anything.
Right,
on.
No. Well, our dancer, who was, you know, a very petite dancer body, she was the one that was,
she was rocking the bananas.
Yeah, she definitely had some banana skirt action going on in the show. So we decided to do, to record that music. And it truly, I mean, by far is a very jazz oriented album. I actually play soprano saxophone on the album, believe it or not.
You went back into your past.
I sure did. I pulled it out, and I honestly can't remember if it was Jeff or Val which one asked for it first, and they said, you know,
Jeff.
Was it Jeff? Okay. He said, well, you know, you think you can play it? I said, okay, we'll see. And it turned out to be a blast. I had a lot of fun doing it, and so that particular album is our most, besides the Christmas one, of course, is our most concept oriented album. Just very much centers around a very specific idea. Very specific show. The rest of our albums are more conglomerations of the style of the music that we are performing, and therefore what almost makes up a program in a lot of ways. And you see a lot of Piazzolla, as you mentioned before, which is one of our big, you know, icons, and we have embraced his music so
genius.
Tremendously.
Well, genius, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And also just other music of Jeff and Valerie's as well as some of the more standard pieces in the wind quintet repertoire. So we like our albums to be, you know, a wide array of styles.
But they're rather unique because, you know, you see, I must admit that initially, this is about 3 years ago, I think, I had gotten, you know, some press material about the Imani Winds, and we had heard about them, you know, and we did play some of that on the air. And I was a little, you know, I must say, not totally excited about, you know, this in the sense that it was anything special, but you are so very special. I mean, you have created such a marvelous image and such a musical image, and you just keep doing it, and it's really quite refreshing and exciting, I might add, to see you. And of course, you have a gentleman, Jeff Scott,
mm-hmm, right.
who is, he plays French horn, is that right?
Yes.
And he's
yes,
also, right. I see that is he a composer or an arranger? Because you always see he's done a lot of the arrangements.
He does both. Mm-hmm. He definitely does both. And sometimes he'll bring an arrangement to us and we'll say to him, you know, this is really more of an original composition. And you should try and expand on that if you want to, because there's always room in our repertoire for their works. And a lot of times, even the themes of our concerts or the themes of our albums will be based around his work, Valerie's work. So even though he does, I think, 50% of each at this point, a lot of arrangements, but definitely a lot of original works. Valerie brings probably more original works to us, and we manage to always incorporate them into our recital programs.
So, but now, what is this legacy commissioning project? I mean, is that a specific thing, or just
absolutely? Oh, absolutely. This is a project that Valerie once again started, and she had the idea of wanting to celebrate 10 years of Imani Winds being together, all the same people, and that was a huge feat unto itself, so why not make a bigger project out of it and commission officially 10 composers over 5 years. And again, this also brought in to play a lot of the musicians that we've been wanting to work with and to play with. So So far, we've had Alvin Singleton, Roberto Sierra, who wrote a nonet for mm-hmm. a wind quintet plus string quartet. We've had Jason Moran write a piece just for wind quintet. And we're going to be recording that piece later this year. So you will see a new album, hopefully in the next year, that will be pieces that have written that have been written originally for Imani Winds and for just the wind quintet. That will include a piece by Paquito de Rivera, Kites Over Havana, which he will play with us on, and also the piece that Wayne Shorter wrote for us.
Right, right. That was the, what is the Terra Incognita?
Incognita,
yeah.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Unknown Territories.
Uh-huh.
So the Legacy Commissioning Project is an ongoing celebration, and we're going to be celebrating our 10 years together for many years.
Believe it when you say that we'll be celebrating our 10 years together? I mean, do you kind of stop and say, wow?
Well, yeah, now we're 3 years past that.
Oh, so you're 13 years, right?
Yeah, yeah. This commissioning project is now going to be spread over 5 years because there are so many composers to fit in, and we want to make sure that they each have their world premiere and that it's, you know, given the bells and whistles that it needs. Because the goal of the project is not just to commission pieces and have a celebration and have a concert that is reflected around this, but to add to the repertoire of the wind quintet, because mm-hmm. even your reaction to, you know, yet another
Forgive
wind quintet's
me.
Album. Yeah, no, no, but you know, this is something that we welcome, and we look forward to that, because we also look forward to changing your opinion of what you might have thought the wind quintet is, or maybe you didn't know what the wind quintet is. And it's because of the repertoire in the past, it's been limited, and people hear the same pieces over and over. Mm-hmm. This is why I think Imani Winds has found its niche, is that we have two composers who write original repertoire and who write for our personalities, and they write for us as individuals. So we bring a new voice, I think, to the wind quintet sound, and also a new palette that is a bit wider than maybe it's seen in the past. So that in itself, I think, kind of takes away the stereotype that people have. And with this Legacy Commissioning Project, where, you know, our goal is to have pieces that are going to become standards in the repertoire and that people will want to play decades from now.
Which I think you just hit on, that people will want to play as well. I think that's very important. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. I was just going to add that another great thing about it is originally the idea always involved the composers being of color, so that it represents the group that we are as well, African-American and Latino musicians. And that has remained the case, but it really kind of expanded even more as we started to live with it and talk about it. It evolved and morphed into not only wanting to get these, quote, underrepresented composers, but going into jazz composers specifically that have not written for the wind quintet, as Miriam mentioned. But, so there's, it just goes to show, as we are talking about here, that this crossover mentality mm-hmm. is alive and well and
it's
very
terrific.
Much prevalent in music today. So not only did Jason Moran write us a piece, but we are about to premiere by the time this goes to air, we would have already premiered it, I guess. So our next premiere is a piece by Stefan Harris, who is very much like Jason in that he is, young guy in his 30s and our age and just doing tremendous work on his own as a band leader, as a composer, has a classical background. However, you know, at this point, does most of his work as a jazz artist. He's a vibraphonist, a marimbist, and so we really started to look at the project as a way not only to expand the repertoire within mm-hmm. what we consider the contemporary classical canon, but let's go outside of that even still, look at composers, look at musicians who not only never wrote for the quintet, but maybe didn't write a quote-unquote classical piece and see what they can come up with. And it's just been some of the most tremendous music. It just really, really, again, goes to show that it's all... There really aren't any labels.
No, it all
the
comes
labels are so...
From the
yeah,
same
the labels
place,
are so yeah. are so blurry. Antiquated at this mm-hmm. point and blurry. Yeah, that it's just really kind of proves that. So that's what we're equally excited about.
Well, that's true, and it's odd that jazz musicians haven't written classical wind music because there are so many winds in jazz. I mean, that's really it's incredible. I will say what you have created is that when I see Imani Wins, I say, okay, what did they do now? And that's very exciting. I must say it's
that's
unique.
Great to hear.
You have really you have carved a niche. You've also, as you say, expanded the repertoire so that people, students and people that are learning the instrument and people that are creating other kinds of concerts, which are kind of a cross genre concert, have something really to play. And I think that's terribly important because you're bringing so much to. I don't want to keep saying both, but it's certainly to the classical repertoire, and you're crossing over and you're proving my point that there really is no end to it, and it all starts the same. So now, as far as your current schedule, are you touring? Are you, will you be performing locally?
Absolutely.
Or in Europe or Asia or wherever?
Well, not yet. We're still waiting for that phone call. No, we do quite a bit in North America, and our tour season starts tomorrow, actually. Well, it starts very soon. And we generally keep a pretty busy schedule between the end of September to the middle of December, and we take our group time off, and so that we can come back fresh for the spring season. And because we do a lot of educational components in our tour schedule, that also has us staying in certain cities maybe in a day or two longer so that we can reach out to the students of all levels. So we will play for the university and do master classes at the local school of music or conservatory. And then we might also go and do an assembly for 500 little four-year-olds. So, you know, we're constantly trying to push that love of music to the general public, because there still are those communities that are very underserved with music, and they don't have the kind of exposure that we had as children, because we're all of Imani Wins, we're products of the public school system. And that's something that's, I think, still very important to us to give back.
Well, I think you've just touched on probably one of the biggest problems today of what's going on in teaching in music and exposing kids to music, because this is a very serious problem in that the schools are dropping the arts program. So very, very important what you just said, and hopefully
absolutely
you can
absolutely
contribute to the hole that is being created in arts education. It's really It's a serious issue.
It's very serious.
Very serious.
And being from California, I was just recently home and listening to my old music teachers and what they're having to deal with. And some of them can't even teach music. They're substituting teaching English because
it's terrible.
So many departments have been cut. And the music that is there, the students are starting at a level in high school of what they should have been starting in elementary school.
Oh, my.
And this is in an area that I think all of us would want to write a book about how wonderful our teachers were and our principals and the support system. And to see that in our generation already gone is a real shame. It's a real shame. So we're hoping that we can do our part as the little wind quintet that could.
No, you obviously are. And what a joy to speak to both of you. Hopefully you'll come to Philadelphia. We'd love to see you once again here.
We, of course, are going to be in Philadelphia, and that's, one of the big concert that is coming up in November.
With the Chamber Music Society.
Yes, with the Chamber Music Society, and the program there is going to be, once again, a wide array of pieces that will allow for our audiences to really, you know, get a chance to hear our usual mix and eclectic blend of pieces. We have a piece by Haas, who is Pavel Haas, who is a Czech composer. We have a piece that is now become a real standard in the repertoire by Paquito de Rivera. That's actually the piece that introduced us to him and to his music. It's called Aires Tropicales, Tropical Airs, which is a multi-movement piece that explores different sounds of the Caribbean, of Latin America, Central America, et cetera, et cetera. Then again, one of the real staples of the the quintet repertoire, the Carter, Elliott Carter Quintet, written in the 40s. That's one of our big, you know, big pieces, even though it's only 8 minutes long, but it's
such an important composer.
Exactly. And for him to have a piece for us is tremendous. Then we play a piece that is a trio, just a re-trio by Villa-Lobos. And wonderful. That is a lot of fun to play just for oboe, clarinet, and bassoon. But one of a big tour de force of his, just, you know.
Along with some others, I guess.
Amazing composer. And then we've got a little bit of Valerie and Jeff mixed in the middle with Afro Blue, an arrangement of the jazz standard Afro Blue that Valerie brought to us years ago. And then Libre Tango finishes out our program. And so this concert is on November 6th at the Chamber Music as a part of the Philadelphia Chamber Music Society.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, just an exciting program, something to look forward to. Very much.
Indeed. Thank you.
Keep up the wonderful work, the amazing recordings, and please stay in touch.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us, Jill.
Wonderful speaking with you. Great.
Thank you so much. Take care.